Brad, joining us in our Touchpoints Rehab interview chairs are Tim Heim, president of the Connecticut Coalition of Crumbling Basements, and Linda Tofolowski. She was the Tallinn resident, believed to have been the first one to file for this crumbling basement situation and this crisis. So we welcome you both to Brad and Dan. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you.
Good morning.
Now, Linda, when you found out about this, you were the first, and I just think you should tell the folks that are tuned in what happened, your house, and you were told that if you didn't do something to it, it would be
condemned. Correct. Basically we saw the cracks in the foundation 8 years after the foundation had been placed for the new house. It was only 8 years. Contacted our builder to come out and take a look at it, and then excavated the outside of the home, took apart the finished basement on the inside, saw how bad it was. Building inspector came out and said, don't take away any more dirt, don't do anything, it's going to fall. I'm going to condemn your house if you don't do anything about it.
He said to you then?
Then, that he was going to condemn the house if we didn't do something about it because it was that bad.
And what did you do?
Scrambled to find somebody who knew what to do, because this is the first time this had happened in the United States.
Can you imagine that?
Yeah. No. Trying to find somebody that knew what to do, how to fix it, because it was the first time in the United States. I hadn't heard, there was nobody, Canada hadn't started their problem, Ireland hadn't started their problem. We were the very first country with this problem. So it wasn't just United States.
And
it was the very first country.
Was that?
Wasn't it
the early 1990s when that happened?
Yeah, it was in the early 90s. Notice cracking in 93.
Right. Wow.
So you're talking 24 years ago.
Correct.
Now, Tim, the latest development was the coalition filing a request that the U.S. Attorney's Office investigate. So take it from there.
Yeah, you know, on Friday, I filed a formal complaint with the U.S. Attorney's Office on behalf of dozens of homeowners, asking them to take a look at this and review it and consider opening this up as a federal investigation. And into basically setting a timeline, Linda's timeline, going back as far as May 21st, 2001, when Linda first filed the formal complaint with DCP. And then a day later, or 2 days later, receiving a letter from DCP saying, we're closing your complaint because you're not showing a pattern. So that was 2 days later.
You're not what?
It wasn't showing a pattern at the time. So it took, Linda files a complaint, and then 2 days later she gets a letter in the mail saying, you know, your complaint's been closed. So that's where it starts, and then it basically just goes on naming other specific dates and letters that Linda had received on, you know, why this problem wasn't opened up and at least an investigation initiated to, you know, there is a problem, let's try to find out what the problem is, and that didn't even happen. You know, you had dozens of homeowners begging and pleading the DCP and the AG's office saying, you know, we need help here. And, you know, through the last 15 years, and now we're here sitting with you today.
Now, the Attorney General at the time was Richard Blumenthal, and in a statement he released to the Hartford Courant the other day, he essentially said he never really moved on it as concerned as he was because he never received a formal complaint from the Department of Consumer Protection. What do we know about that?
Well, what we know is, you know, Mike Cardin, who was the state representative at the time for Tallinn, did send Blumenthal's office a letter saying, you know, we need your office to get involved. I know that there were letters sent to DCP years ago, because we have copies of them, saying, you know, we need help here. Liaison at the DCP's office at the time saying, you know, this isn't our issue, it's a court issue. You know, you have Don Childrey in 2008. Three investigators from DCP come out and take a look at three homes, and still, you know, nothing happening. So in different years, on different occasions, you had different people reaching out to the AG's office and DCP saying, you know, please help us take a look at this.
Now, it seems to me, just reading the story in The Current the other day, talking with you and other people, that you've got all of these government agencies passing the buck. Is that how you interpret it?
Well, I mean, if you go to the very first timeline, you know, on May 21st, 2001, when Linda filed her formal complaint with DCP, you know, and coming to present, I mean, you see that, you know, these agencies, you would think they'd be more involved, especially today. I know Attorney General Jepson did, you know, he did a report which, you know, him and Jonathan Harris, the DCP commissioner at the time, I truly believe that they really put a lot of time and energy into this. But there's a lot of things that still need to be done. And I'm just waiting to hear from them, which I haven't.
I cannot understand, after Dan, we went out there. You know, just simple stuff. You don't need a law degree to figure this out, okay? The houses are crumbling, okay? There was stuff used in the foundation that shouldn't have been used, all right? Period. And it's costing these people, and it would cost them probably a couple of $100,000 or more to replace the foundation. Now, you don't need a Harvard degree to figure this out. All you have to do is just have some common sense and say, look, we got to do something. We are the state of Connecticut. These people are suffering. Let's do something.
Well, Brad, but the Harvard degree will tell you that the price tag could be about $7 billion if you're talking about 34,000 homes being affected. And that's where everybody starts passing the buck, I believe. That's where
you're
the
probably
issue
right
developed.
Okay, Dan, here we go again with this situation that has got to be solved some way, sometime. There's no question about it.
No question indeed, Brad. And joining us again in our Touch Points Rehab interview chairs are Tim Heim, president of the Connecticut Coalition of Crumbling Basements, and Linda Tofolowsky, Tolland resident believed to have the first case of a failing foundation. Now, the question is, the situation regarding these crumbling basements is not going away, and there are reports of homeowners finding right now these crumbling basements. So
that they didn't think they had.
That they didn't think they had. This problem could, they stopped using the quarry last year, 2016. So it's very likely it's and possible that it could go up to last year. So if it takes 10, 15 years to become visible in your basement walls, then this problem is very likely to go up to and exceed 2030.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine what this is going to, what this could possibly be at the end, Dan?
In other words,
nobody doing anything?
Well, that's it. In other words, people who are homeowners right now,
yes,
this could happen to them, particularly in eastern Connecticut, at any moment, right?
Yeah, and, you know, at our last support group meeting, there was a young couple just graduated UConn a couple years ago and bought their first home. And now she's pregnant with their first child, and they just recently found out that they had it.
Can you imagine?
It's devastating.
And nobody's doing a damn thing in the state. That's what really bothers me, Linda, honest to God.
Linda, I guess your story has come full circle.
Yes, it has. We just found out recently that my mother's condominium has it. She's 85 years old. She's not going to do anything about it, but it'll be my problem. And then my son, who lives in Tolland, his house has it.
Wow. Now, is the common element here the mineral pyrite? Is that it?
Yes, it's pyrite.
Pyrite,
and it's a mineral, as we all know, that oxidizes with air and moisture, and causes the chemical reaction and causes the concrete to become defective.
Now, was the pyrite specific to the particular quarry?
Yes. Yes, it was a vein in the quarry in Wellington that they were using. And you know, again, this has never happened in the United States. And as Linda mentioned earlier, it's only happened three places in the world, Ireland, Canada, and lucky us here in Connecticut. So
we started first.
Yeah, and from what Linda, you know, started finding out. We were the first to know. So
I thought the Attorney General in his report, which was very detailed, also mentioned Norway, too, is also
1959, I think, in Norway. Okay.
Yeah, and a dam in Spain.
Yeah.
You know what's hard to understand, and you just mentioned the couple that just bought a home and so on and so forth, but this could continue and go on and on and on if it's not stopped or if it's not attacked, as I call it. And I can't understand why government officials, from the governor on down, whoever they are in office at this time, don't take this as a top priority before we have another 10 or 15 or 20 homes attacked the same way.
Sure, and I think from what Senator Austin and Congressman Joe Courtney, who both have been working on this, came out with something about HUD funding. I think Kathy Austin over the weekend from the Associated Press article, I thought I had read that there might be $60 million in this budget to help homeowners. But there's a lot more that goes to it. You know, we have almost 600 complaints. I think it was 550 or a little bit more complaints with DCP. But we need to get into those homes and find out the worst of the worst. And that needs to happen now. You know, we need a task force, you know, with a czar heading this up, an independent task force to get into these homes and categorize them, you know, worst to least. And that needs to happen.
Well, isn't the issue also that homeowners, they can't even afford a loan in order to make these repairs, correct?
No, and that's absolutely right. Then I would be looking at almost a $200,000 home. I mean, a loan to get this fixed. And it goes so much beyond that. You know, if you get the money, you have to find a place to live for those 3 months or 4 months while your home's getting fixed. You know, I will not be able to live in my home because of my schedule, my wife's schedule. So where are we going to go live for 4 months, A? And how am I going to be able to afford $1,500 a month on top of my mortgage, which people couldn't afford and have done and have already lost their homes because of that? So there's a lot of things that, a lot of contributing factors that are going to make this work as a whole. And we need people sitting at that table. You know, maybe the banks can do forgiveness for the victims for 4 months, or maybe if the banks have some foreclosed homes, maybe they can allow the people to live there for free while their homes are getting fixed. And it just goes on and on and on. You know, you're not going to get a lease for 4 months, that's for sure. I know Don Childrey owns a couple homes, which he's letting the victims live there as he's fixing them. But you know, it just...
And there seems to be no movement on the part of the
state.
That's
the big thing.
What you're calling for is a czar and a task force to be created.
Absolutely. And I think George Colley, because the victims trust him and support him, he would make a great czar. He's more than qualified. He could do the job. Him and start an independent task force, and let's get going. Right now, we're at a stalemate. You know, I hope that we get a budget. I hope there's money in that budget for us. But then where does it go from there? You know, who's going to delegate the funds? Who's going to, you know, start the worst of the worst? That's who needs to get fixed right now. And, you know, I want to see the details of the monies.
Well, that to me is part of the big issue, because we hear the state, and we even had the Speaker of the House on the other day talking about we have to address the crumbling foundation.
Yeah, he mentioned it.
I've heard is, well, we'll start out with $15 million in seed money, but it goes back to, well, $15 million would be there for you to get a loan. But I go back to the fact you can't afford a loan.
No, and, you know, like I was just talking about that young couple that just graduated UConn. You know, it goes from there all the way to the retirees, you know, who worked all their lives. You know, the 60, 70, 80-year-old couples that now, what are they supposed to go back to work and pay off
for
their home again?
Well, the couple that sold the home and lost a lot of money, but they were too old and they had to sell it.
Yeah, the couple across the street from me that lost $300,000 because they were in their 80s and the stress of this was just affecting their health that bad.
Wow. Well, I want to get back when we come back, Brad, following our information update. I want to talk about George Jepson, the Attorney General, And you mentioned Jonathan Harris at the time, the mm-hmm. commissioner of the Department of Consumer Protection. They actually did, and it was Jepson who wrote this 9-page report, and it is somewhat of an extensive report, so I want to delve into that when we get back.
Okay, coming up to 7:30 in the morning, and we will be back. All about Connecticut, the coalition of the crumbling basements. One of the things, Dan, that has bothered me, and I know this technical stuff and all this, but what people are wondering, I'm sure, is how can we correct this problem? Why has it taken us so long? And these homes are crumbling and getting worse, and we got folks that are all of a sudden finding out they have this. I mean, how are we going to stop this?
Well, Brad, I think the sticking point goes back to the fact you're looking at billions, perhaps billions of dollars, and no one wants to get stuck with a price tag. The insurance companies don't want to get caught
well,
with a price tag.
Then I guess the towns are going to have a problem because they're going to lose tax money.
Absolutely.
The whole thing.
Absolutely. Banks are going to have a problem.
Absolutely.
And I think that's why this affects everybody in the state of Connecticut, because if you don't think your state taxes are going to go up, in order to address this issue, if it's not addressed now, then we're going to have, then you're smoking something
and
because
Dan,
it's everybody's problem.
You're absolutely right.
Tim, I see you shaking your head
happen.
Over there, right? I mean, this is everybody's problem.
We're all going to be paying for it.
Oh, absolutely. You know, the town of Wellington, their mill rate just went up 2.5 mils because of the governor's budget, anticipation of the budget. This hasn't even addressed you know, the crumbling basement issue in a small town of 6,000. And next year, it's going to be devastating. So it's going to affect, it affects the entire state.
Now, Governor Malloy went to the Attorney General's office and also the Department of Consumer Protection and asked them to put together a status report on this. And on July 7th, 2016, Attorney General George Jepson issued a 9-page status report and I guess submitted it to the governor, right? And to the commissioner at the time, Commissioner Harris at DCP. What's been done with this report?
Yeah, the governor ordered an investigation shortly after George Colley's story back in 2015. I believe it was around August. And he ordered that the attorney general assist Jonathan Harris at DCP, the commissioner, ordered them to join together and conduct an investigation. Attorney General Jepson came out with the report that you have.
We have the report this morning.
In July 7th of, it took about a year later. And it's very detailed, and it offers some strong suggestions to the governor. And I don't know if any action or any follow-through has been done from Attorney General Jepson's suggestions in the report. I'm not sure what's going on.
And now, a couple of things as I read the report. Tim and Linda, maybe you can address this. I come away with the sense that in his report, the Attorney General essentially absolves just about all of the parties in culpability, saying that it might have been an accident. They didn't know about the pyrotite, and it seems everybody is absolved of blame here. That's how I come away with reading this report. How do you view it?
Yeah, I mean, under the CUPCA, Connecticut Unfair Trade Practice Act, he did a pretty lengthy investigation, spoke to the concrete company and former employees, and came back with that, you know, basically that, you know, they are not liable for, they weren't willingly or knowingly and responsible because it was hard to prove. He did mention something under the CUPA Act, which was the Connecticut Unfair Insurance Practices. I'm not sure what he suggested to the governor. I'm not sure if there was any follow-through or any action from on behalf of the governor.
You know, I read this report this morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I got out of the report? Zero. Says nothing. Says absolutely nothing.
Well, some of the things I get out of is the fact that the quarry company is still in business, right? The quarry? Is that right? Becker's is still in operation, Linda?
Yeah, they're in operation. They have a voluntary... what do you want to call it?
They certainly can't sell that stuff.
Well,
they are voluntarily
not going to be selling their aggregate for residential use in concrete.
Well, they shouldn't be selling it for anything, should they?
they shouldn't be selling it for anything, but they can still sell out of state for anything. They have no restrictions out of state. They are very close to state lines, and they can still sell their aggregate for commercial use in foundations as of this time right now.
Well, this is ridiculous.
Is the concrete being tested for pyrrhotite?
That I don't know. That's a question.
Actually, you don't test the concrete for pyrrhotite until after it's cured. When it's in its plastic state, you can't test it. You test the aggregate that's going into it, the stone and the sand that's going into the concrete. You test that for pyrrhotite.
So that could still be being used. That could really be used now, right?
Oh, yeah. There are trucks. I am told by the town of Wellington there are trucks going in and out of that quarry, business as usual.
Business as usual with
the trucks going in and out of there with full of aggregate.
With houses that are going to be falling down.
They can't sell for residential use. That's their voluntary agreement with the state that they cannot sell for residential concrete use.
Well, if they sell for other uses, what is for stopping that from affecting other uses? That's all I'm saying. I mean, this must be a bad product with all these problems that we've been talking about.
Well, it's been known for hundreds of years that you cannot use pyrrhotite in concrete.
Wow. Now, in his report, the Attorney General writes, the insurance department has not, to my knowledge, as of yet, issued CUPA or other subpoenas to gather information concerning insurers' coverage obligations, coverage denial conduct, or communications to their policyholders relating to crumbling foundation coverage. It has, however, recently issued data calls requesting some information concerning these topics. I applaud Commissioner Wade for taking this initial step and stand ready at her request to assist that any further investigation efforts that may be warranted. Now, that was a year ago. What's happened since from the insurance department? Do we know?
We don't know. That's a question for Commissioner Wade, Insurance Commissioner Wade, to see if what has happened with that.
Or
Governor Malloy.
So we don't know then.
We don't know.
I don't mean to laugh, but it's laughable, Dan. They haven't done anything. They haven't done anything. The government hasn't done anything in the state of Connecticut about this.
Now, here's how the Attorney General concludes his report. In addition, as discussed above, consideration of further appropriate investigation into insurers' conduct and coverage responsibility as it relates to foundation failures is warranted and may aid in informing or advancing the availability of relief from insurance companies. My office remains available to assist in any such efforts. To our knowledge, have there been any such efforts?
I'm not aware of any efforts, no.
Linda?
Nope, not aware of any such efforts.
this is absurd.
Let's take a call. Let's go to Joe in Harwinton. Joe, welcome to Brad and Dan. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, good morning.
Good morning, how you doing?
Good.
I work for a construction company, and I cannot believe that they're allowed to sell any concrete. And I can't believe that, you know, if anybody would actually buy it from these guys, knowing all this. And I mean, it's, you know, if people know this, it's caveat emptor right now, you know, and it's, to me, it's ridiculous that these guys are doing this. And correct me if I'm wrong, I thought I heard that the original company that sold the stuff theoretically went out of business, and the company that's operating it now bought it out, and that mysteriously the records disappeared in a fire. Is that, am I recalling
okay,
the right
story?
Okay,
let's get a couple of things straight. First of all, Linda, the quarry is selling aggregate, right?
The quarry is selling aggregate. Modus was sold. J.J. Modus, the concrete company, was sold, and another company operates it. It does not use that aggregate. They cannot use that aggregate. The state has a voluntary agreement with the quarry not to sell their aggregate for residential use in concrete only.
Now, that voluntary agreement, didn't that expire on June 30th of this year? Was it extended?
Yes, it was extended.
It was extended, okay. Mm-hmm. So hopefully that answers Joe's question.
Yeah, that's a great question, Joe. Thank you.
Yeah. All right, we're going to... Actually, okay. We've got a couple of minutes before we go to traffic, Brad, before Cindy gets there. Now, the next question becomes here, with this report then, what do you do with it? What have they done with it? Has it been submitted to the state legislature? Do the lawmakers have this?
You know, I know for a fact that Governor Malloy had it. I know for a fact Jonathan Harris at DCP had it because it's sent to them.
So Governor Malloy has had this report now for over a year. The Department of Consumer Protection, which now has a new commissioner, Michelle Siegel, has had it for over a year. And to your knowledge, nothing's been done.
Dan, I think that as we look at all of this, everything that we have looked at, they haven't done anything. That's what frustrates me. They've got these reports. They haven't done a damn thing with them. And that's why we're in the position we're in now. I don't know what's going to happen, but something's got to happen, I would think, for these homeowners.
Well, I think you're going to have a catastrophe is what's going to happen in addition to the physical structure.
We've already got a catastrophe.
Yes. In addition to the physical structures on the verge of collapse, and, of course, the mental anguish for the homeowners combined with the catastrophic financial situation that's going to create for a state that's already broke when people can no longer, and for the banks, when people can no longer pay their mortgages, when people can no longer pay their property taxes, and that revenue's not coming in to the municipalities that go broke. You talk about a ripple effect.
It's going to affect us all.
That's it. Yeah.
All of us.
Yeah. We need somebody to take the lead and do the right thing.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that. We haven't seen that yet.
And to take it a step further, you have contractors coming in from out west wanting to get involved and do the work that have never done it before. No regulations, no guidelines. You know, we need DCP involved in this. And, you know, there's a lot to do, a lot of work to do.
Toby in South Windsor. Toby, good morning, good morning. Go ahead, Toby.
How are you this morning?
What is your question?
Well, my question is more of a thought, and I know that this is a political hot potato. It was nobody's deliberate fault to blame the foundations on. It's one of the things that happened. But what I do know is that with the combined creativity of the geniuses we have in this state and this country, that there's a way to come to a solution. It's possible that there's a chemical that can be infused that will counteract the effect of what's happened. I don't know. I just know that we need some more cooperation, and we need our political leaders to lead and not be passing the buck. So we need some strong leadership to take ownership and not trying to find blame, because there's too much blame. There's enough blame to go around. It's nobody's fault, really, but it's a problem that needs to be solved.
You got a comment?
It's a comment. I don't really have a question. I'm grateful that you're bringing this to the attention of the citizens of the state. It's a big problem, and who knows what the solution is.
Well, and here's the problem. If you came up with something to counteract the chemical reaction, you're going to need another 10 or 15 years for a new house to see if that works. You know, if you built a house in 2016 and you know it's confirmed with pyrrhotite and you come up with this chemical, supposedly that's going to counteract with the pyrrhotite chemical reaction, you're going to need 10 or 15 years to see if that's actually working and it's not showing signs of any deterioration.
Yeah, over the 24 years that I've been dealing with it, they have tried sister walls, and those have failed because we've watched them. You know, it takes 10, 15 years for this the sister wall to fail because the bad wall is crumbling and pushing into the sister wall and lifting up and cracking it. They've also tried sealing, the water sealing, mega water sealing it, and it still, once it starts, once the chemical reaction starts, it doesn't stop. But over the years, they have tried several things, and none of them have worked.
The bottom line is the only repair is to replace.
Now, my suggestion is twofold. The governor tomorrow could name, and you're so right on this, a czar and an investigative panel. What's to stop him from doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is he needs to pick up the phone and call the president of the United States.
And he could, because the president already said, if you need any help, call me, when he was down in New London.
Well, if it was me, I would have said, well, by the way, we are fighting this problem here in Connecticut, and we do need some help. And can you come to Connecticut and tour a couple of homes? Governor hasn't even toured a couple of homes. So, you know, the governor and President Trump are more than welcome to come to my house anytime they want.
Wait a minute. The governor has never been out to see any of these homes?
No, the governor has never visited one of these homes.
Can you imagine? This doesn't surprise me, Dan. I'm not surprised at all.
This is incredible. Absolutely incredible.
No, the governor has never... I've invited him numerous times through his aides, and he has never come to a house to see the devastation.
Yeah, yeah, this disaster, you know, you can sit back and look at it and you know, talk about it and blame everybody else, but we need a solution. We need it now. We needed it years ago. We need somebody to take the reins and solve this solution and have a solution.
You know, when Dan and
United
I were
States
out there.
Should be head of the game, but we're falling behind the rest of the world here in the problem.
When Dan and I were out there, I did not think I was in Connecticut.
Yeah.
Honest to God. And I lived here all my life. I didn't think I was in Connecticut.
You cannot understand, and you could read about this all you want. You could watch the coverage on television. And George Colley did a tremendous job when he broke the story 2 years ago.
Sure he did.
But until you actually go and view this yourself, you cannot imagine the destruction that's involved here with these basements. It's impossible to believe.
And you don't even talk... You don't even talk with your wife about it anymore.
No.
Because she gets so upset. You told me that.
Yeah, we don't talk about this.
Yeah.
You know, my wife gets so stressed out, and it affects her health with some other issues, so we don't discuss it.
So in summation, what are we looking for here? Now, I mean, Linda said we need to move on this 20 years ago, but still, what we need to do right now, you tip first, Tim. What do you want done?
Well, you know, we need the federal investigation. You know, we need, most importantly, we need an independent task force with the czar. I strongly suggest George Colley. We also need the DCP to get involved and start mandating some regulations on how the replacement and the repair is done. Because the last thing I want to see are the victims become victimized again. We also need the DCP to look, at how the concrete and how the forms are being set up and see if there's regulations and things that need to be changed with that. All homes being sold in the towns that are affected, they need to be tested. If you have pyrrhotite, that home can't be tested. And, you know, the last thing we'll want to see is a homeowner, you know, just buying a house and then finding out that they're tested positive for pyrrhotite. But it just goes on and on and on. But we need the department heads of the state of Connecticut involved in this so we can get an action plan and we could start moving forward.
We also need the quarry shut down. Stop selling that aggregate for any concrete use whatsoever. Other countries, that's one of the first things they did. We have not done that yet.
They shut them down.
The source. Shut them down so they can't be used for concrete whatsoever. We haven't done that yet. The other countries, that was one of the first things they did. We haven't done that yet.
Can you imagine, Dan?
This is just amazing to me. And to your knowledge, this report that was put together by the Attorney General, nothing's been done with it.
To the best of my knowledge, no.
And it was issued on July 7th, 2016.
Yeah, over a year ago. It was sent to Governor Malloy.
Wow. And the governor hasn't visited any of the homes.
No, he hasn't.
Wow. This is incredible.
What would you do if you were the governor, Dan? Huh?
Well,
wouldn't you have been out there a long time ago?
You bet. Absolutely.
So would I.
I mean, listen, I don't want to get political here, but if you can go to New Haven and visit a woman who's on the verge of being deported, you can go out to Eastern Connecticut and take a look at a crumbling basement.
And that's the last word for this hour.